Good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And before we jump into our study this morning, I just want to make everybody aware of a free answers conference that Brookside Baptist Church will be hosting this coming weekend, starting Sunday, November 15th through Monday, November 16th. We have Answers in Genesis coming in. Many of you are probably aware of Ken Ham, who runs and builds the Creation Museum. He's also working on what is called the Ark Project down there in northern Kentucky. He will be here speaking on Genesis and the state of the culture, creationism, on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. and 10:15 a.m. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., November 15th, he's going to talk about why build an evangelical ark. What's the whole purpose behind that project? And we'd love to invite the public out to that. That is Sunday, November 15th. And then if you have children on Monday, starting Monday morning, November 16th at 9 a.m., kindergarten through sixth grade, he's going to be talking to the kids about dinosaurs. So he's going to be discussing that at 9 o'clock. Then at 11 o'clock a.m., he's going to talk with the kids 7th through 12th grade about science and how it's confirmed in the Bible. So these are some very helpful, practical things that Ken Ham's going to be discussing with our children. And then Monday night, it's open up to everybody of all ages, and he's going to be talking about the seven C's of history. So if you are going to be in the Brookfield area, the conference will be held at Brookside Baptist Church. The address is 4470 North Pilgrim Road, and we want to invite everybody to attend. If you're not in the Brookfield area or cannot come, we'd like to point you to www.brooksidebc.org. And if you go to our church website, there'll be right on the homepage a place where you can click live stream. We'll be live streaming all of those sessions, and that conference is going to be a blessing to you. So we want to invite you all to be a part of that coming up this weekend. Something that I want to discuss with you over the next couple broadcasts is comes out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11, and I want it to be an encouragement to you. If your life is anything like mine, your Christian life is a struggle. It is what Hebrews 12 calls a race. And it's not a sprint, it's more like a marathon. And as you run a marathon, if you've ever run at all, there are times in the race where you just feel defeated and discouraged and tired and worn out. And yet that is just a beautiful picture of the life of faith. And as we run our Christian life, it's inevitable that there'll be times that it's just great and we find strength and we feel encouragement and it's refreshing, but there are also times where it's just a struggle. And Hebrews chapter 12 really fills us in on not only does it acknowledge that the Christian life is difficult, but God gives us some great encouragement in how he enables us to run this race of faith. I mean, if you were to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer says, let us run the race that is set before us. Why I love that verse is because it's very intentional to you and to me. When I woke up this morning and I put my feet on the ground, God had a specific race that he intended me to run today for his glory and for my good. And the reality is, our races may be different. The race I'm running today may be different than the race you're running. The obstacles I face will be different than the obstacles you face. I may be filled with encouragement and strength, and I'm running fast. You may feel discouraged, and there's something holding on to you that's slowing you down. But the reality is, to all believers, God is calling us to engage in this race. And as we engage in this race, we are to run with patience, because it's going to be harder than I can imagine and longer than I want to run. But the truth is, he's called us all to do it. And the only way I can do it day by day is what we're told in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I am to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. As I run this race that's harder than I can imagine and longer than I want to run, he tells me I am to keep looking unto Jesus, keep my focus on my example. I am to trust him as my enabler. But not only am I to look to Jesus, number two, I'm to stay in consistent practice of laying aside the sins and the weights that easily ensnare me or weigh me down. So he gives me something practical. Not only am I to keep my eye on the Lord, but I am to each and every day deal with my sin. So as I run my race of faith, I am to keep my eye on Christ, who is the goal, and to continue to deal with my sin daily. I mean, let's be honest. When I sit back and I look at life, the challenges, the circumstances, the struggles, you may sit back and say, man, there is no hope. But yet, when I turn to the book of Hebrews and I begin to read God's word, and it begins to point me to Christ, who is my creator, my sustainer, the ruler and redeemer of my soul, all of a sudden, there's hope. Because hope isn't found in my circumstances and my challenges and my struggles. My hope is found in Him. It's found in Christ. And too often as we live our Christian life, we live discouraged and we come to the conclusion that it's too hard. I want to quit. But really, that's exactly where God wants you to be. On your knees, looking to the heavens, saying, I need help. I can't do this on my own. And what we see in Hebrews chapter 12 reveals to us how He is going to enable us to run this race of faith daily. And He's going to do that through two images, two examples, two metaphors, if you will. When we read Hebrews chapter 12, we see the language as we run in verse 1, let us run with endurance. It's a racing metaphor. It's an athletic metaphor. If you look at verse 11 in Hebrews 12, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit to those who have been trained by it. That word trained in the Greek is where we get our word for gymnasium. It is an athletic term. But also throughout chapter 12, we see, like, for example, in verse 5, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, just like a son in whom he delights. He gives the imagery of a father and a son. So we're going to see two pictures here as the Lord's going to help us understand how he enables us. And the pictures I want you to understand is between a coach and an athlete and between a father and a son. So in this text, what God's going to do is he's going to say, I know the race is hard. I know it's harder than you can imagine. I know it's longer than you want to run, but I'm not going to put you in a place of failure. I'm going to enable you to be able to run this race so that you can glorify me, and it's for your good. So how does he do that? Well, starting in verse 5, he uses a broad term to help us understand how he does that. And he says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening, we may use the word discipline, is exactly how God enables us to run the race of faith. Now, when I say that, you probably have negative connotations as to the word chastening or discipline. Oh, great. Now he's going to make my life even harder than it already is. But we have a misunderstanding of these terms, especially in this context of Scripture. We think chastisement, discipline, never a good thing. We think pain and hardship. However, the understanding of the reader of this text in Hebrews would have understood it to be a very good thing. Their discipline and their chastisement was all about correction. It was more of a friendly term. It was more of a helpful term in their understanding. It referred to the bringing up of a child into maturity in an emotional, spiritual, physical way. It was used by teachers, mentors, parents, coaches. It was used by anybody who wanted to invest in the growing and the maturing of another person. Someone who helped them see, this is good, this is right, this is not good, stay away from this. Someone to scold you, someone to give you the big picture when only you see the small picture. It was all designed for your betterment. That's the term here. The whole idea of discipline is someone knowing where you are at and where you need to be. And it's all for your good. It involved both the hard things and the good things. So if we were going to try to understand it in our context, it would be not just spankings, not just discipline, although that's needed. But think of it this way. Just as many hugs and kisses and I love yous as pats on the bottom. It involves the whole thing. That's the idea of what we see in the scripture. So when God speaks of discipline, it refers to him being engaged in your life, knowing what you need, when you need it. He's there to encourage you, to push you, to stretch you, to deflate your pride, to pick you up. It's not, oh, you did wrong, now you need to be spanked, bam. So many times we have a wrong view of God. Sometimes that comes through our imperfect earthly fathers. It affects how we view God as our heavenly father. But what he's saying here as a whole is, my son, don't despise, don't look down on the discipline, the chastening that I'm going to give you, because it's for your good. I give you encouragement, I give you strength, but I also tear down your weaknesses to make you better. So we know the race is hard. We know we need help running the race. And God says, I provided a trainer. I've given you a coach. I've given you an invested father who's going to treat you like a son. In verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He doesn't do this to everybody, only those he loves. So with everything you are facing, it's hard, it hurts, you feel lost, you feel alone. But what he wants you to understand in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 5, and how he enables us to run this race is to understand, number one, you are never alone. You have a coach. You have a dad who gives each of us a personal, individual training and coaching session geared perfectly for you. Think about this. Great coaches know how to deal with their players. They know when to pat them on the back. They know when to pull them out of the game. They know when to build them up, when to confront their pride. Great fathers know how to deal with their children individually. They have different personalities. They have different abilities. And they treat them as an individual. And this is God's role as your coach and as your father. He knows you better than anybody. And he knows exactly what you need to strengthen you, to help you as you run your race. So let that be an encouragement to you this morning. That even though life is difficult and it's challenging, the race of faith is harder and longer than you want to go, that God enables you to be able to run. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll see you next time on The Word for Life.